Hey, Eddie, you know what's awesome?
What's awesome, my love?
My little oil biz.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Do you like that name? Mom's little oil biz?
Almost as much as I love you.
Let's do this podcast, Otera style.
You got it, babe.
Welcome, everyone, to Mama's Little Biz podcast. My name is Angela Villa.
And I am Eddie Villa. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We have got something very spectacular here for you guys to listen to. It's a new direction that, you know, Angela and I are heading into, which I know you guys have all heard about. Some of you guys might have even seen some of the things we've talked about. So we're going to kind of have a little conversation with somebody who is the at the precipice of this change, the person that we are entrusting with our future. Let me just add more pressure. I'm super excited, Angela. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how we got connected with this amazing person so that we can, you know, for our audience to understand, because that's, for me, what matters most is understanding the people behind this.
Yeah.
We had this conversation before. So why don't you go ahead and talk about how you got this, how this happened?
Sure. Well, first of all, most pressure intro ever.
Yeah, I love it, right?
I think I recommend that you guys should just sample people. I just want to stay out of it now at this point.
Oh, so funny. Well, so for those of you who haven't heard, I have invited Tasha Smith onto our podcast with us. And let me just tell you kind of a funny little brief history of Tasha and how we met. And, you know, I met her when she came up to me in one of our Temecula or Pechanga sales training essentials. And she came up to me and introduced herself as someone on my team who really wasn't doing the business, but had some background in coaching skills and stuff about knives that I knew about. And it was at a time where it was after an event, so I was totally in chaos mode because for whatever reason. And so I was listening, but I wasn't fully engaged in the conversation, right? And then she had said, because most great salespeople who know how to sell themselves, she said, I would love to speak. And I was desperately looking for people to speak. And so I said, yes, let's do it. But she happened to speak at an event that I was gone. And
we were both gone.
That's right. Yeah. We were both gone for our training. And so she spoke and everybody said it was awesome. She did great. And so it was kind of that's what it was. But then Tasha messaged me to speak on her podcast, which I'm sure she'll drop at the end of today. And then just said, hey, I'd love you to come on and talk about how you've built to where you are on part time. And then I got to know her more. And then I started hearing great things about her. And it takes me forever to attach to something because, you know, I'm amazing and I always know what's best for everybody. So I'm not always open to listening, but she sent me this training for just as complimentary so that just as a thank you for doing her podcast. And I, you know, everybody knows our Holbrook had committed suicide at the time. And so I just was not in a place to do anything. I was in a bad space. But things changed and people started talking more. And finally, Missy got a hold of me. She says, you're crazy if you don't just sit down and listen to it. Trust me on this one. And it was right after our fast start literally skyrocketed. We were like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
So I stopped and I put everything I knew aside and I took the time to listen. And from that point on, I think I have messaged her several times a day, every single day since then, and even went into hiring her privately to work with because she's doing something in our world. I know we have a lot of other companies that listen in, which is great, but in our company's world, it's a lot different than what we were taught in the very beginning.
That's what I love about it, I think.
So I'm really excited to jump in and talk to her a little bit about what's going on, who she is, how she's doing all this, and why, and get all that background information. But let me officially introduce you to Tasha Smith. She runs Emerge Sales Training is her business, and she is a legitimate sales and closing business coach. So Tasha, thank you so much for being on our podcast with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. And that is seriously so much fun. Andy, that's so bad.
No, it takes a lot for, you know, for us to want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously we've realized that we need it. And when we noticed what was happening in our organization with the people around us, we couldn't ignore it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had to take this seriously. We had to take you seriously. And so far from what I've seen, I could not be more excited. I mean, honestly, I'm ready to chuck all the things that I've learned and been taught up to this point and completely start new with what you're sharing, because of what you're talking about has resonated with me mm-hmm. in a way that makes sense, total sense. Like, oh my gosh, why haven't we been doing this sooner? If I could take the pressure off, you got it already. There's nothing left for you to do other than just to help us understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really your whole job at this point. So what I want to do in this podcast is really get to know you. You know, sure. I mean, the business is powerful. And what's important for me about the business is connecting the business to the people. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've come to, you know, basically get to the point where you're now connected with us.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're, I know Angela's upset that you didn't tell her about the credit stuff earlier. I wonder if you're upset that she didn't sign me back in June when I first met her. I'm just kidding. All right. Okay. So, I'm a doTERRA customer. So my background is when I was in college, I was selling Cutco knives, and then I was promoted there. I was a district manager. I did really well. So I personally sold over $120,000 worth of Cutco knives by referral only. And then my offices have done over, I don't know, like $1.2 or $1.3 million. And then I thought it would be a good idea to get a real job. So I did recruiting. And I was a recruiting manager for the last 10 years. And a couple years ago, I kind of got sick. I was working from home on a work from home accommodation. I was like, this working from home is amazing. And I started looking for jobs for me and my friends. We're all high powered sales managers. And I was looking for, I was where I was for about a decade. And I was like, well, I'm either going to find something or I'm going to be here forever. And I wanted to grow. So I started looking, and all the sales manager jobs were, at least at my level, were travel, really heavy travel, and starting back from the bottom, right? Because they all want industry-specific experience. And I was like, this stinks. And I got really, really pissed and said, I will create a company, and I will hire all of my friends, and we will work 30 hours a week from home and forget it, right? Like all these, you know, high-powered sales managers, because they told us when we were going to college that we could do anything, but then we hit 30, and then we had these people, and now we have to choose between raising our own children and having someone else raise them, right? Yeah. And especially if I needed to, you know, travel and, you know, contribute to the world, right? Because I was wired to do so. So I started this company with a vision of hiring all my friends, and I figured, well, what could we sell? And I said, well, we'll just teach people how to sell. And so I wrote up in my board, and maybe I'll send you this image. It's kind of funny. And I said, okay, well, I want to teach people. I wanted to work primarily with women, no offense, Eddie, but sometimes egos.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I mostly work with women too. I'm the same way.
So I wanted to work with women entrepreneurs. I was tired of people getting training in corporate. I didn't want to deal with corporate, like legal and all that kind of people that didn't want to be there. I wanted to work with entrepreneurs. I knew my skill set was in teaching people with zero sales experience. So I wanted people with zero sales experience. And I had no idea where to find these types of people. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to see what happens. Built a website, start a podcast. And my friend nervously walked up to me at karate. Our kids do karate together. And she says, well, will you come to my class? And I said, oh, you sell stuff? And I said, people how to sell stuff. How do you listen to my podcast? So then I ended up... she listened to my five episodes or whatever and texted me and said, hey, I want to hire you. So I said, okay. So I went to her class, and it was so bad. And I have her permission to tell the story. So super overwhelming, lots of information. My kid was crying. They did like bingo, but it was like three oil reps and me, right? It was a class, but there was like three on one. And so I'm sitting there, and the whole time I can't help but analyze their presentation. So we go through the thing, and at the end I bought a bottle of Serenity and Deep Blue and paid the enrollment fee, and she ended up hiring me. And for the first 2 years she did her business, she made $50 a month. And then the following month she made $450 when she was working with me one-on-one. So that's when I learned about doTERRA. So I still had my corporate job. So her sponsor had to pay attention. So she hired me too. And then I thought it would be a really, really amazing idea to quit my job. At this point, I was earning $400 a month But I had no more time to even take on any like free coaching calls or anything because I had this job and I was commuting. I live in Corona, so I was commuting to Orange County. And so I was like, all right, here we go. So I kind of did the whole webinar deal, and that's kind of how I got in sales training. But I found that I just worked through referrals. And so my two clients were like, you need to go to Angela's thing and go meet Angela. Angela and you would get along. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. So I go and I meet this Angela person, and I watch it. I was like, this is my people. She said, I need speakers. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'll speak. And then it just kind of, that's how we met. But I just think it's important that everyone understands that I'm a customer first. Mm-hmm. So I have 6 enrollments.
Ooh.
My name. Yeah.
Yes.
So Catherine went and taught one class at work, and then I closed them on their breaks later. And then I've sold 2 Family Essentials kits. And I did that over the phone to people I knew while I was testing my techniques. And then, yeah, I've been working through referrals since then and just been teaching people these really, really simple things. And so the philosophy that I come from is this customer first philosophy, is what is best for the customer. And so this customer first, team second, and my ego third. I think so much of this network marketing industry, you know, telling your story, it's so egocentric and it's not about the customer. And so many people are like, I need to know everything. I need to come across as the expert. And customers don't care about that. That's so much about people's egos and how people feel. And if we just started serving people, like really helping them, then everything would just work. Like, I never even imagined I would be on, oh my gosh, Angela Villa's podcast. And it's crazy. Like, you just show up each day and you just impact people and serve people, but you have to be skilled in what you're doing. You can't just, there's a saying, I don't think I've even told you this. What do you guys get when you motivate an idiot?
What do you get?
A motivated idiot.
I'm so going to use that.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
So, Can I you're probably going to go into this, but let me just say, because there's this idea that if you share your story, because we teach sharing your story, but there's always a place for it. When there's this idea of if you share your story, you are serving them, but in reality, you're not.
Well, there's a time and a place for it. I think that's right. What Tasha's trying to say is,
right.
you don't go, hey, let's talk about oils, but first let me tell you my story.
Right.
I think that's what Tasha's trying to explain.
So, I mean, you probably already did, but just clear that up for people, because I know that came up in the training you just did for my group.
Yeah. So the story, I mean, we need to care about the other person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, professional sales, so I'll just kind of backtrack. A lot of people are really hesitant about this word sales. And I think, oh my gosh, it's so high pressure and pushy and salespeople are the worst. Well, only bad people, salespeople are the worst. A professional salesperson is a joy to work with. Professional salespeople know that it's about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
A professional salesperson loves on other people. And it's so funny because telling your story is the most, quote, salesy and high pressure sales tactic I can think of, right? Because it's just talking and talking and talking. And it's not about them. Like, I think someday you're keeping me pretty busy right now, so I don't know if I'll ever finish my book, Selling is Like Dating. But I write this chapter, it's like if you've been on a date and the other person just talks about themselves the whole time, like that is not a fun date.
Right.
A fun date is when someone asks you engaging questions. And if you think about the best friend you ever have, it's the person and you're like, man, my friend so-and-so, they just get me. They just listen to me and they just care for me. And I think that we just need to spend more time doing that. Telling your story is not about them. But I think most people are so afraid of being in sales that they're like, if I just tell my story, then people will buy stuff. And they're so afraid of sales that they don't learn the key questions on how to get people out. Because I think most people say, well, yeah, I want to learn about them. But they don't know what to learn about. When I was talking to Catherine in the dojo, she's like, yeah, my big thing is being pushy. I was like, you don't have to be pushy. You just need to ask someone the right question. And she looked at me like I had 4 eyeballs. She's like, what do you mean? I said, oh, well, you just ask them, like, are solving your health problems naturally important to you? And she looked at me like, oh my God. And I said, and then they would say, yeah. And then I would say, well, why is solving your health problems naturally so important to you? And she just was like, oh, that would tell you, right? I would tell them everything, and then it would just be so easy to connect the dots. Yeah. So I think part of it, Angela, why breaking from telling the story is so hard is because you can't just say, don't tell your story. You have to replace it with something.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where people don't understand. It's like when you tell your kids, don't run by the pool. You can't say don't run. You have to say walk instead. Right. And so when we just say don't sample or don't tell the story, people are like, well, what on earth am I supposed to do?
Because that's kind of everything.
Right. And I think that's where people get hung up with is instead ask this question. And that I think is what's really going to help. Right. And that being said, I wanted to tell my story. Is that funny? Can I tell a story about why customers should buy kits?
Yes. Go for it. We want to hear it.
Okay, so I have prepared a little speech titled, I'm a customer, for the love of God, sell me a kit.
See why I like her? These are all the things we're all thinking and just are totally afraid to do.
I can't wait to hear this.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, so this is written from a customer perspective because please remember, I am not in anyone's upline. Right. I have no investment into this except for, can you please just save, please people, just save us from ourselves. We are customers. We are lazy and we don't think things through. We don't understand how to connect the dots. Save us from ourselves. Right. It was really what I want to say. So I need to tell you this OnGuard story. So I told you that I enrolled with Serenity and Deep Blue.
Right.
And then to shorten the story, 4 days later, I bought the Family Essentials kit. My husband he's a lab scientist, so he's a total germaphobe. And one of the big jokes in the house is about inside and outside clothes, right? If clothes have been outside, they cannot stay inside. What? And my kids right now, they're 4 and 6. So my daughter Zoe at the time, she was 5 and they had pajama day at school. And she just got brand new fleece pajamas from my in-laws. She loved them. So they had pajama day at the school and she went to pajama day and she's like, I got my pajamas. I'm all about these pajamas. Okay. So she comes home and she's like, I'm like, all right, Charlie hasn't gotten home from work yet. So I take a bath and you change. And she looks at me, Mom, I want to wear these pajamas to bed. And I'm like, oh my God, your dad's going to freaking lose his mind. Like lose his mind, right? Because the germs from the outside are now going to go in the bed. Are you kidding me? So I'm like, this is not going to go over well. So he walks in the door. I hear him. The kids are still in the bath. I'm upstairs on the landing. And I'm like, hey, Charlie, I just want to let you know that Zoe wants to wear her pajamas to bed. He gives me this look like I had just told him I cheated on him. I'm not even kidding. He looks at me like the are you effing kidding me look. I mean, literally, I thought that the response was, Charlie, I've been cheating on you all 8 years. And that's the look he gave me when I said she wants to sleep in her pajamas. He's like, are you kidding me right now? And I was like, I'm not kidding you. She wants to do the pajamas. I've talked to her for 30 minutes. It's not going to budge. Can you be cool? And he's like, and he's like speechless about this issue. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so crazy. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? Because she's going to come downstairs. He's going to say no, right? And my 5-year-old is going to lose her mind. And then my husband's going to lose his mind. And World War III will surely erupt. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I was like, I know what I'm going to do. So I go grab I empty out a spray bottle from underneath the counter, put some water in there. And I'm sure this is not the right exact thing to do. And I put some OnGuard in there. Okay. I popped the OnGuard and it was because I had not used it yet because it didn't legitimately tie back to what I had said in the class. But I had the kit, thank God. So I put a bunch of OnGuard in there. I put the water. I said, Charlie, don't worry. I got this. I'm just going to spray Zoe down in this OnGuard, in the spray. And he looked at me and he's like, okay. I was like, Kim told me the story about how they diffused it in the classroom and it killed all the bacteria in the biology room. So this should work. And he's like, okay, so no joke, guys. I sprayed her down with the thing. He totally chilled out. She got to wear her pajamas to bed, and he didn't freak out. And then that's when I recorded the podcast, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Yes. And if I only knew about the properties of On Guard, it would not have helped me save my marriage that night. I don't know, what do you guys think about that story?
Well, first of all, your husband sounds amazing. But I get it. I get it. You were armed and prepared, literally, to not just do what we teach in us class On Guard does, but to kind of round it out to everything you needed at that moment. All of it.
Yeah, and if somebody would have just sold me the one or two oils, right, had I not been analyzing their presentation and connecting my own needs and writing them down on my own and connecting the dots, mm-hmm. because of my professional hazard, I would not have made that choice, right? Mm-hmm. And if I would have had Serenity and Deep Blue, would I have been able to save my marriage that night?
No.
No, and in fact, that's brilliant. This is a brilliant way to put it.
Yeah, because it's just the way you would have just given me the one or two things that I needed, right? I needed. I'm stressed out at work and my shoulders hurt from commuting. I need those things, but that doesn't help me in those other situations. And so that's why I prepared this speech, for the love of God, sell me a kit.
Okay.
So here are my three things that I just want everyone to think about their customers. So the first is, care about me as a person, but as a whole person. So care about my future, not just my current issues. Please don't hide behind Facebook like all the other network marketers that are just wanting to post pictures and hoping that they make money. My challenge to you guys is, like, do you love me enough? Do you love me enough to reach out to me and say, I just started this business. This is what I'm doing. I'd love to just share it with you. You don't have to get anything, but if you see something, like, of course I'll help you order it. Are you open to meeting with me? Like, do you love me enough to pick up the phone and actually call me? And do you love me enough to tell me the truth? And do you love me enough to save me from the flu? Right? Like, if you really believe in the life-changing properties of your product, you have a professional obligation to reach out as a customer. Don't sit there and say, I posted on Facebook, and if they're interested, they know where to find me. How do I even know I'm interested?
Oh, yeah.
How would I even know I'm interested?
Exactly.
So, like, I guess the first thing that I would just encourage people, like, from the customers, care about me as an actual person. And I think when you hide behind messages on Facebook or hide behind things or just go for a quick hit, like, hey, are you interested in essential oils? That's not caring about me. That's just trying to quickly get a sale.
Right.
What if you actually cared about me enough to reach out to me? So that's my first thing. Second thing, talk to me like a normal person. I don't know what the heck CPTG is, and I don't really care.
Oh, my God.
And I don't really care about your story because I don't believe it. It sounds too good to be true, right? Like, be cool, guys. Like, even you guys who are like, Tasha's training is the most amazing thing ever. I'm just sitting there like, come on, guys, be cool.
We don't know how. We're totally nerds.
Okay. Yeah, be cool, right? It's just like that dating example where someone comes up and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. And you're like, dude, be cool.
Be cool. I love that.
Just be cool. I am attracted by your conviction, not your over-the-top story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I went to Catherine's class, it was because she looked me in the eye and said, this stuff has changed my life. That's it, because she's super introvert. She wasn't going to tell me her story because she's embarrassed, right? Like, that's not her thing. She just looked at me and said, this stuff changed my life. And that conviction is what drew me in. It wasn't her. I mean, we've been friends now for a long time. I don't even remember her actual story. Yikes. You know why? I don't care. I bought like $2,000 worth of oils.
Right.
Right, because it's about my story. So be cool. And then the third thing is, make it easy for me to buy. And this is kind of why I dislike sampling so much. It makes me so hard to buy. There's so many extra steps. Just make it easy for me to buy. What is an essential oil? Oh, well, usually what I do is set up an appointment and go over this. Oh, okay, cool. How about we meet tomorrow? Don't invite me to a class 3 weeks from now.
Right.
That doesn't make it easy for me to buy. I could have had the flu three times over by then. Right? So just make it easy for me to buy. And then here's the thing that will make everybody squirm. Tell me what to do. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. Right? Right. Just look me in the eye and say, Tasha, because I love you, I think you should get this kit. Not because you are so worked up about what your commissions are, but because you care about me. So just tell me what to do. And you know what? Everyone always asks me, why did you buy the Serenity in Deep Blue? And I said, it's because it's what my friend told me to buy. Why did you sign up with a retail, with a wholesale membership? It's because what my friend told me to do.
Right.
Right. And if she would have told me, if she would have said, you know what? I think you should buy this other thing. Because here's the thing, Serenity, Deep Blue Rub, and Woman Fee. How much is that? $130.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He could have just said, it's $130. You know what I think you should do? I think you should get this other kit. It's going to really help you a lot more. And then I'll give you a little roller bottle of Serenity for free if you choose to buy this kit for today. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, yeah. And there was a point where we were arguing about the breathe, and I just sat there, I leaned back, and I said, are you going to ask me to get it or what? And she laughed. She's like, well, do you want to buy it? I said, yeah, thanks. Like, if you don't even have enough conviction to say, hey, Angela and Eddie, do you guys want to buy it? I'm not going to chase you for a sale.
Yeah.
I'm a customer. It's not my job. And if you don't have enough conviction to say, do you want to buy this? Then you must not believe in your product enough.
What I'm noticing, and I'm loving when I'm listening to you talk, this is the thing I'm loving the most, is your vocabulary. The words that you're choosing to use are not words that people who go from talking normal to becoming salespeople use. And it's almost like, this is what I'm getting from it. It's like when people go from normal to suddenly becoming salespeople, it's like they think they immediately have to change the way they talk, and they talk weird, like they talk funny, like if they're from another planet. Like they're from another planet, and then they learn English by watching salespeople or something, and then they adopted that language, and they use it in the wrong context. It's like they're aliens from another planet learning English for the first time. This is the thing I love about you. Is this something that you had to adopt yourself as becoming a salesperson? Did you have that same transition where you had to teach yourself how to speak salesy but normal, like so that people could understand it?
Well, I mean, I was 20 when I learned how to sell, so I didn't have baggage.
I see what you mean. That's awesome.
Right. So I was just like, oh my gosh, this knife cuts through the rope. This is awesome. But the thing is when I was trained, it was like, here's the manual, read from the manual, don't be an idiot, basically. Right? Like, just read from the manual. And so we didn't know any better. We couldn't go that far, right? So we're just like, okay, mom, first appointment was with my mom. No sale, by the way. Mom's the worst. Okay? Here's what I'm going to go over today. Cutco, the world's finest cutlery. And look up. You don't have to buy anything, but if you see something you like, of course I'll help you order it today. Right? Like, that's how we did it, because we were so new, right? We just read from the thing. Like, here's how it works. Here's the guarantee. It's literally, you just read it. So I never had to experience that transition because I was never trying hard. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and that's when, like, I guess internalized that sales language, because that's just what I was initially taught to do. I don't know if that's the right thing, but what you were reminding me of is like, girlfriend voice. So my boyfriend in college had this, like, he would talk to me like, hey, sweetie, so nice. And then his friend would call and be like, hey, bro, what's up? Right? And his whole voice would change. And that's what that reminded me. I feel like when people go into sales mode, they feel like they have to be someone different. Yes. They don't have to be anyone different. They just need to ask, like, gosh, I don't want to bore you with details you don't care about. Like, tell me about some of your goals. Tell me about some of your health issues.
Right.
When you're listening and not speaking, Eddie, it's just better. You don't have to, right? Part of the voice that you're talking about is because people are speaking too much. They're not listening. And listening is really the most important thing, because that's where you can really, truly serve people.
Do you find that, like, when you're having conversations with people in a sales conversation, that the less you're talking, the more likely you're going to have that sale?
Yeah, I think there's a time and a place. So the beginning should be totally focused on them and listening and just caring about them. But then there comes a point where they're looking for your guidance. So I think this is another, so that's kind of that third tip, make it easy for me to buy. So then here's the problem. You have people are like, okay, I need to focus on other people. So they'll do like, okay, Eddie, tell me about your concerns and tell me about this. Okay, and here's a little bit about the oils. What do you think you want to do? And that's going to the other end of the extreme because they're looking to you as an expert, right? So then you have to actually turn and say, okay, now I'm going to explain how to solve your problems. And you move back in the driver's seat and you're like, all right, here we go. And that's when you say, hey, earlier you mentioned this. This is the product you're going to use for that. This is the product you're going to use for that. And then you take over and you say, okay, here are the two options. You know, which one do you think works better for you? And you just, that's where you take that directive. So that's what they're hoping. It's like if you go to the mechanic and you drop off the car and they say, oh, okay, so you have a pinging in your car. Okay, cool, I'll get back to you. That's not nearly as much authority and credibility as if they said, okay, how long have you had it? When you turn the engine, does it do this? When you hit the brakes, does it do this? And they ask you all these questions. And that's when you're like, man, I never even thought about these questions. This person knows their stuff. You demonstrate your credibility by asking questions. And then you, at the end, it's just connecting the dots.
So I want to ask, so I mini presented this to, at our Pajanga, just not presented this, but I presented the understanding of knowing what you're going to say before it even comes up. Like knowing, like I know to say, well, typically what I do is I set up an appointment. I immediately go to that. And I love that. And honestly, Sharla, one of my dear friends, who's also a diamond, she says, there's some of these scripts are worth every, you know, penny I've spent or whatever. Yeah. And I love that you have these just go-to scripts. So no matter what comes up, if someone says, hey, I saw you post about lavender. Can you tell me about that? Or, hey, you know, I have been wanting to work for myself. Can you tell me about more about what it is you're doing? And you immediately go right into the exact same script. Mm-hmm. And there's this like people constantly say, but what if, and it all comes back around to what you said about care about me and my future, not just the situation I am in now, or not just the ailment that is defining this moment. So tell me the importance or the value of knowing the script or having the script or having, you know, all of that and how it pertains to knowing the person.
Yeah. So, one of the big myths about sales is over personalizing, because that actually hurts your customer from an education perspective.
Okay.
And so when someone says, hey, you have lavender, we feel like, okay, I want to personalize this so much. They want lavender. So that's what I need to talk about. We actually have to take a step back and just understand the big picture. And when we know, and the scripts Angela is referring to are my appointment setting script and then the class or one-on-one script. Mm-hmm. So like there's certain components. When you know what those scripts are, you can listen better. Because one of the big problems for listening is that if you're always thinking about what to say, you can't listen. Right. Well, if you have your script memorized and you're, or really it's an outline, right?
Right.
Then that pressure is removed. You know that this is always what's going to happen. Oh, and God. So all the what if questions, here's the problem with the what if questions. They're totally invalid because you haven't used this format. Okay. You used a different format in the past, sample and follow up. Mm-hmm. And then they ask those questions. When you use this appointment setting approach, usually what I do is do this. You go over the top 10 oils. First, you've gone over their needs and you offer two kits. They don't ask about one or two oils.
Right.
Right. So part of it is like you're totally comparing apples to oranges because you're asking all these what ifs based on things that already have happened. And so that's the difference between proactive closing and reactive closing. Proactive closing is being a prepared professional, right? Mm-hmm. With a prepared appointment setting approach and a prepared sales presentation. And a prepared referral approach and a prepared follow-up conversation. Like a doctor doesn't go into cut and say, I wonder how I'm going to cut today. Right? I believe I can cut. I have the right mindset. And I believe that if I cut, this person will live. Like, no, they have practice on, right?
Right.
cadaver after cadaver after cadaver, and they have reviewed and they have looked at everything and looked at all these images, and they are prepared going in. So they are not worried about it. And the more people run away from sales training, the worse, the more salesy they are.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. Sampling and follow-up is literally the most high-pressure approach I can even think about.
And it makes you become super salesy, like over the top salesy. The it totally does. And the more people fear that, then the more they fear it. It's just this big awkward situation, and they're exactly what they didn't want to be.
Yeah, I do want to address some of those. Oh, sorry, Eddie, go ahead.
No, I was saying that's how we terminate friendships.
Yeah. What if you just said, usually what I do is set up an appointment, and we go over this, this, and that. And here's how long it takes. Is that something you'd be open to? And they were like, nah. And you're like, that's cool. We could still be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple.
Right? What if we just did that? What if at the beginning of your sales presentation, you said, you don't have to buy anything, but if you see something you like, of course, I'll help you order it today. And then you show them the home essentials, and they're like, can't afford it. And then you're like, family essentials, can't afford it. Trio pack, $30, still can't afford it. Okay, now we know they just don't want it. Hey, yeah. No worries. Right, I showed them all the options. We're not waiting for payday to come around on a $300 kit. We're just like, okay, well, if you can't get that, how about this other thing? And then it's done.
Yeah.
Right? 80% of the people will buy, 20% of the people won't. And then you can just be friends and just say, I guess it's not for you. And that's cool.
Exactly.
Right? Versus you had a sample. Okay. How about you want to buy now? You want to buy now? How about now? How about now? Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I saw you at the party. How about now?
We're laughing because everybody who's listening right now knows.
We're not the only ones laughing. The people who are listening to this are laughing.
They
right
know.
Now. Like, gone. Just kill me now. Like, as a customer, stop it. And here's the biggest problem with that. You will never recruit people with that approach.
Yeah. No, you won't.
Because who wants to do that? Like, if you're listening to the podcast right now, I want you to raise your hand if you like sampling and following up for 6 months to sell one kit and making $20 commission. That sounds like a lot of work, right? That sounds like a lot of work. And then who else wants to do that? And then you're like, oh, you finally bought a kit. Want to do this as a business? And they're like, are you freaking insane? Do you want me to follow up with people for 6 months to make $20? You're losing your ever-loving mind. No, I am not interested in this. But... okay. What if I said to you, usually what I do, and I set up an appointment and we meet the next day and we do a 30-minute appointment and it's really cool and comfortable and you buy a $275 kit. And then I say, hey, is this something you'd like to learn about? Usually what I do is set up an appointment to go over what it entails selling stuff and earning money selling the stuff. Is this something you're open to? And they'd be like, yeah, that was easy. Oh, and by the way, I read from my outline because I'm just learning it myself. And they're like, you just read from the outline? Yeah, I could totally do that. You mean I don't have to stalk people at the soccer game? I don't have to spend my kids' hockey game talking to someone about oils and sampling them? I could just say, usually what I do is set up an appointment, go over this and that. Is that something you'd be open? Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, I think I might want to learn about that. Right? Or what if I had a class of 6 people and I did this approach and 5 of them bought, and I sold $1,000, and then I said, hey, by the way, guys, this was fun, right? Oh, and I sold $1,000 in 45 minutes. You know, one of my coaches, Kasha, she sold $2,200 in one class in 45 minutes.
It's crazy.
Do you think people were like, that was fun. I think I might want to do that.
Yes. Yeah. 100% yes.
Right? And
can't argue with
people,
what they see.
People are joining their team because they like that experience and they want to give it to other people. And then you're like, okay, well, usually what I do is just set up an appointment to train you on this thing. We'll just practice it a couple times. You'll be good to go. And they're like, yeah, I think I could do that. And it's like not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And they go do it. And then they start enrolling 4 or 5 people a month, just kind of on accident because they're talking to someone there instead of them trying to convince their friend about why they should buy this $275 set of oils. They're like, oh, usually what I do.
Yep.
And then they do the thing and they read from the paper that their person gave them and they read from the paper and then then their friend buys it, as opposed to them harassing them for 6 months about, right? Like, I think everybody has a sister. They're like, just buy the freaking things. Not just the customers, not the business builders, right?
Right.
Right.
And so it just makes a really big difference when it comes to recruiting, because who wants to do that? Who wants to stalk their friends for 6 months until they buy? I mean, I don't.
No, I don't. I don't want to do that ever. Ever. You know, I love it. And so I'm hoping our listeners are now understanding why we're having Tasha be a part of our organization, part of our business. This is awesome. Just the stuff that we've already talked about alone from this podcast should already change people's, you know, ideas and opinions about how to do things and start looking at them in a different way. So I'm extremely grateful for you, Tasha, seriously.
So we know that you are on a time crunch with us on the podcast, but I want to just ask you this. Why does your system, it's not even a system, it's just a conversation. Why is it working as opposed to what us long timers, you know, our innovators and early adopters have done with the tear-offs and the sampling and the all of that? Why is it better? Just sell me on it. Why is it better?
Oh, because it's built for everybody. So I would call you a magical unicorn. So all the trendsetters, you could do anything. They're literally like sampling, tear pads, whatever. You could just, you're so charismatic and you have these business and sales skills. I mean, your background is in like, right? Network marketing.
Yes.
So all the innovators, they have these skills that happened along their lifetime. And they just, no matter what they would have done, it would have worked. Right. And so now they're sitting there like, well, guys, this is what I did. But here's the thing. I did an interview series where I interviewed, why are network marketers joining network marketing today? And they're all like, flexibility, be home with the kid. It's a totally different person. And so they don't have the sales experience. They don't have the business experience. And so they need to be taught a specific way of doing it. And so where the magical unicorns are all like, just go do it. What's your deal? Like, just do more activity and you'll be fine. And what the heck is wrong with your mindset? And they're like, no, I don't know what to say.
Exactly.
Right? That's just an excuse. And they're like, no, I don't know what to say. Right? And that's why this is different, is it's a word-for-word approach and exactly what to say, which is founded in customer psychology. And I mean, it goes back, the techniques go all the way back to Greek philosophy, right? Like, I'm a total nerd, right? Like a student of persuasion and a student of science and neuroscience and all this stuff. And it's like, this is just what works. It's not what works for me. It's not what works for doTERRA. It just straight up works. It's what I use to sign coaching clients. It's what Eddie used when he was selling credit. It's what I use selling knives. It's what some of my clients, that they'll use for their own coaching practices. It's just what works in sales, and that's why it's different. And I do want to mention one thing you said earlier. This is a drastic change, and I actually don't believe it's a drastic change.
I don't think so.
For you, it might feel like you entered and everyone's like freaking out, like, oh my gosh, I have to change everything I know. No, 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 no. doTERRA already believes in one-on-ones and classes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if you're out there and you're selling Rodan and Fields, yeah, you're just like vomiting right now. It's a huge departure from their business philosophy. But for doTERRA, it's one-on-ones and classes. And all I'm doing is teaching you how to actually set up the one-on-one classes for the next day, as opposed to 1 month from now after a bunch of samples. And within your one-on-one classes is, here's a better way to do it. Right?
Right?
That's customer centric, that allows you to get out of the spotlight, put the customer in the spotlight, and just really help them to make a decision that you already know that they need to make. So it's not really that far of a departure.
No.
Simplifying the 90 minute to 2 hour class into something super simple that tells customers big bottles or small bottles, whatever fits in your budget.
Maybe that's what I'm referring to. Yeah. I remember the first class I ever did went a good hour and 20 minutes. And of that hour and 20 minutes, like 20 minutes of it was my story. That was like when we first did this, it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But
it really isn't dramatic and drastic. It's just, I think that most people get a little fearful of it because they've been sampling for so long.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They've been sampling for so long. And when you blew my mind, it was on the training you gave me so generously for free, was Angela. Are they freaking buying the scent or are they buying the sleep? What are they buying? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so that's why I was like, it's not dramatic. It's just the idea of pulling that out of your head. Like, they're not buying that smell. Stop it. Get it out of the way. So it isn't drastic. It's just, it makes you go, wait, what have I been doing for so long? And now I'm not doing this anymore. So you're right. You know? Yeah.
Well, and if people really want to say, usually what I do is set up an appointment and here's a little something to get you started. That's not, that's going to be fine.
Right.
Right. So if you're like totally freaking out about it, it's cool. Right. Like I understand, you know, I'm not a network marketer, right? That's why this, some of this is my, totally. You can sell this over the phone. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
They're not buying the smell. They're buying the, like the solution to their problems. And
that's it right there. Yeah. And that's all we should be focusing on.
Yeah.
This, here's the problem you have and here's the solution to now having this better life.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. And you pay this much and there you go.
Yeah. And if you listen to them, that builds more trust and credibility than any other thing that you think builds trust and credibility.
Yeah, yes. Totally.
Right.
I love it. I love it. And man, we could talk for days about this, to be honest.
Longer than an hour. That's okay.
Sorry. I have people to train.
I know.
This
so
awesome.
If you, so leave us with, leave us with just a little bit and then tell us where everybody can find you.
Yeah, we can back up.
Yeah, okay, cool. Little bit, what should we finish with?
Like your most inspirational tip. I mean, you blew my mind on several things.
Okay, here's my most inspirational tip. Stop crying, learn how to sell.
I love it. Oh, hey, look at that. Practice and learn. That's
just
fascinating.
Stop crying. Right now. Stop crying.
But Tasha, that's kind of drastic, I think.
Yeah, I'm planning on selling a coffee mug that literally says, it's a to-do list, and it says, stop crying, drink coffee, call someone, sell something.
I like that.
That's awesome.
The to-do list. Okay, so where to find me? So I created a page for your listeners. It's emergesalestraining.com/AngelaandEddie. And there's basically a couple of options. So if you are a platinum leader or above, then what I will do is I'll do a complimentary closing session training for your team.
Wow.
Break down the core components. I did this for Angela this morning. And so we can talk about that. So you can email me at tasha@emergesalestraining.com. And then I went ahead and just, my team is going to do a workshop for your listeners.
Yep.
On Saturday, the 7th of January. This is the same workshop that you did. And it's $27. I mean, I probably can charge more, but I want you guys to come.
Awesome.
And you can get the registration info at that emergesalestraining.com/AngelaandEddie.
Okay.
And so my team will work with you on building your sales presentation. We'll work with you on building that. And that's it's called the closing workshop. It's my signature workshop. Have a paper towel ready. I mean, the brain's going to ooze out of the brain, or your brain is going to ooze out of your head, or whatever I'm trying to say. So,
awesome.
Those are probably the best things, but you can find the links on both of those things at emergesalestraining.com/AngelaandEddie. My email is on there, and maybe we should just do this again sometime.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We can talk a lot about it. A lot of different
stuff.
We'll
do this again, and we'll also post in the description of this podcast those links for everybody, because I think that
it'll be in the show notes.
You know, little changes should be embraced and made for people who just want to move further in their business.
And that's all they care about. Like, that's it. I don't care who gets the credit. Like you said, ego is last. All I care about is that I get the results. That's all I want.
Yeah. So. Well, and all I care about is that you save me from the flu.
Perfect.
So, learn how to sell effectively, because I can't solve any of my problems just by being educated.
No, it's so true.
I actually have to have the stuff.
That's awesome. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, can you please sell me the stuff?
That coming from someone who is a customer, people, just sell them the stuff. Give them the whole thing, because you care about them, their future, and everything, and not just the situation they're in right now. So we want to thank you, Tasha, let you get to your next thing. Appreciate your time. I am super thrilled to really just get started and make this a system within my own team. And we're going to go ahead and just wrap it up here for Mama's Little Biz podcast. Again, thanking Tasha Smith for joining us. My name is Angela Villa.
And I am Eddie Villa. Have a wonderful week, everybody, and happy sharing.
Bye.
Selling. Selling. Not sharing, selling.
We're going to change the name now. Yeah. We're going to change the name. Bye, everybody.